Tosfot points out that coolest that Rav Blazer ben Azariah had that the other Tanaim were not happy about. So the first one is a shayla, just like there's a din, a human being is not permitted to carry things on Shabbos, but to wear clothing is permissible, and to wear tachshitim is also permissible. So the same is true regarding a behemoth. The behemoth is not Jewish, but there's a din of shvisas behemta. I'm not permitted to allow my animal to walk around carrying things on Shabbos. There are two din. There's a din of shvisas behemta and a din of mechamer. Mechamer is shvisas behemta means let's say my next door neighbor is a nochri, and he's gonna take my behemoth and make a duma locha to him. So that's my violation of shvisas behemta, even though he's doing it. And the Gemara has in the Dorim the din. Let's say I rented a behemoth to a nochri, and then I realize achapse haner Shabbos, he's going to use the behemoth to carry on Shabbos or to plow or to do some kind of a malacha. So what do I do? It'll be my violation of shvisas behemta. It's my behemoth. So the Gemara says you have no brera. You have to be mafke the behemoth in order that you shouldn't be. Don't say it too loud. If you say it out loud,
keep it.
Yeah. So the Gemara says to say it quietly. No one. Then the Gemara says you have to be mafke in the presence of three people. There's a din with the rabban. Have to be in the presence of three. So that's a din of shvisas behemto. If it's my behemoth, even if the nochri is making the behemoth do malacha, that's my violation of shvisas behemto. And then there's a din of machamer. Is a different din. If I make the animal go and carry, and I make the animal carry.
Is it limited to Balchai, or would it be applied, let's say, to a truck?
No, that's the Machlekes Bishamai Bishilo, that Shvisas Kalim. The Bishamai, the Gemara has one shot that Bishamai hold that there's a din of Shvisas Kalim. Not only is it forbidden to allow your behemoth to do malacha on Shabbos, it's forbidden to allow your kelim to be involved in any malacha. Then the more effect akasha, so how do you, let's say I have an oven, I have a pressure cooker, whatever, and the food is cooking from Erev Shabbos into Shabbos, so my kelim are involved in bishul, yibenshlicht, so my kelim are involved, my leichter is involved in, and neiris are burning on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that people don't want to violate shvisas kelim, so afkuri mafkelahu, so they're mafke their kelim. Or the Beznas Mafkele Kem, however you read the Gemara's answer. That's according to Beishamai, there's a din of Shvisas Kem. But the Gemara's of Beisilo holds that there's no such din of Shvisas Kem. Only Shvisas Behemto. Only what it says in the Pasuk, Shvisas Behemto.
You only say Shochel Vachamoichel.
Yeah.
Doesn't say Teilechel.
Right. So the Beishamai, the burden of proof is on the Beishamai. They have a Pasuk of Drosha. V'chol Hashem Amarte Alechem Tishameiru. That goes on Shvisas Kelem also. So the Mishnah is saying that you're not allowed to have your behemoth walk around on Shabbos carrying a burden, even if you don't make the behemoth go, even if you're not violating mechamer, that's the violation of shvisas behemta. Let's say it's cold in the wintertime and the behemoth wants to wear begodim, they shouldn't catch a cold, okay? If you want to put tachshitim on the behemoth, it's also just like an odom can wear either begodim or tachshitim, so the behemoth can also wear tachshitim. So here there was a machlokes. Here there was a shayla in the days of the Tanaim. Machlokes Rav Blazer ben Azariah and the Rabbanan. What about if a parah goes beritzua sheben karneho with some green or red ribbons? Yeah. Okay. To beautify the behemoth. So is that considered a tachshit? That's how Rashi says. Blazer ben Azariah holds that it's a tachshit, so it's not a masri. And the Chachamim hold, no, it's a masri. That's not considered a tachshit. So the Mishnah says, Shailan Shabbos, right, Shailan Shabbos. So the Mishnah says that Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah allowed his parah to walk in the street, parasa yoitzis, his personal parah, it sounds like. He allowed his parah to go in the street on Shabbos outside of the Erev with this Ritzua ben Karneh. And the Chacham held that it was prohibited.
What about the
question? I mean, on Yom Tov also a Shailah from carrying. Yeah, on Yom Tov you're allowed to carry whatever is Litzorach HaYom Ktzas, and the stump of the behemoth can also carry Litzorach HaYom Ktzas. So
Litzorach HaYom Ktzas.
He wants his behemoth to look good. I don't know.
What about the power of the Gilgal and Erev Pesach, where he puts the knife, he put the knife on the behemoth and so on? Why is that about carrying?
That is carrying, yeah. So the Gemara says that it's mechamek alacha yad. Let's say a person carries by putting the whatever he's carrying, he puts it in his shoes. instead of carrying the money in my hand or in my pocket, I put it in my shoes, I put it in my hat, under my yarmulke, whatever. So that's how Itzor Kalachayat. So Itzor Kalachayat is only the Rabbanon. So that's what the Gemara says, that there was there a Pesach Chavi as B'Shabbos, and the people had a Shech to carbon Pesach, had to take knives from home. So they put the knives in the wool of the animal, so they had the animal carry it Kalachayat, so it was only an Itzor Rabbanon. Why was that mutter? So that's a discussion in the Gemara. Well, it should be awesome at the Rabbah. So the Gemara works on that. But the Gemara knocks it down to a Rabbah. So the way the story appears in the Mishnah, it sounds like this. Rav Lozer ben Azagren, Anora Metane, he was a poor man. He had an ain't to get para. He had one cow, and his one cow. Oh, so that's the Gemara's kasha. He's a multimillionaire. What do you mean his para left? He wanted to have one little cow. He used to milk the cow, and that was his whole. What do you mean he was a multimillionaire? The Gemara asks. Lamei, the Rav Lozer. So the Gemara answers, he was a multimillionaire. He was a big tycoon. But his next door neighbor was never a poor old lady, and not that he held that it's muta. He also probably held that it was awesome. But he wasn't moichibor. He didn't. He saw the next door neighbor allowed her cow to go with the thing. What was it? With the ritzua, with the ribbons in between the horns, and he didn't say anything. So the Mishnah describes it as if he allowed his own par, as if he violated the other.
What's the difference with Pavi?
It sounds from the Mishnah as if he allowed his para to go, as if he never, he was so poor he only had one and only para. Moreover, said he had thousands of paras. Which para, which of his paras did he allow to go with the ribbon in the head? So that's the Gemara picks on the Lashon HaMishnah. The Memer, you mean to say, Abladim and Azai only had chod para habile, he only had one and only cow. They have a tradition, a historical tradition. He was so wealthy, he gave 13,000 agolim, 13,000 sheep, for Maisa. For Maisa. In other words, he had 130,000. And he gave 13,000 for Maisa. He's a very wealthy man. Have a master of Lazar Mazan, may Edre from his Adorim, from his flocks, call Shata Vashata every year. He used to give Maisa Behemoth 13,000. And for the Gemara, there's a Braisa that explains the historical background. Lo Shaloh Hois, Tana says in the Braisa, Lo Shaloh Hois, not that it was his cow. No, he was Taka, multimillionaire. Lo Shal Shechinosa Hois, he had a next door neighbor. She was poor, she only had one cow. And he also held that it's awesome. Not that he was to click with the Chachamim, whether it's permissible to allow a cow. He also asked him that it's a Masui. But Mitoch Shalom Michabo, Nikris Al Shmo.
I don't know
whether it means that he held that it's mutter and the Mishnah calls it his, or he also was masking that it's osir, but it just wasn't moicha.
If he holds it's mutter, why should it be moicha?
Yeah. It should be moicha because the Chachamim hold Asa, yeah. But if he holds mutter, so why should it be moicha?
Yeah.
Why should it be moicha? I don't know. So Pasha Pshat is that he also holds that it's Asa, but we're pinning all the blame on him as if he did something like
maybe
on the other two things we disagree with.
Maybe he wanted to help the little old lady.
Okay.
Right.
That's the Gemara. Here, Taisus has a famous kasha. Taisus has a historical kasha. Rav Lozer ben Azarya was the one who was appointed at the age of 18 as the chief rabbi when they fired Rabbi Gamliel. Who was Rabbi Gamliel? Rabbi Gamliel was the chief rabbi after the Churban Abayis. At the time of the Churban Abayis, he was too young to be appointed. He was really, Rabbi Gamliel was really a descendant. Hillel was the Nasi. And then for years and years and years, the descendants of Hillel, his son, his grandson, his great-grandson, one after the other, they were all the Nasiim, the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. There was a figure, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the chief rabbi for 40 years. The Gemara says, in Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived to the age of 120 years, and the first 40 years he was in business until he retired, and then the next 40 years he went into learning till the age of 80. In the age of 80, they appointed him as the chief rabbi. Where did he come in? He wasn't from the dynasty of Hillel. So apparently, the tradition has it that the chief rabbi had passed away, and the one who was next in line, his son, if he's going to keep it in the family, the descendants of Hillel, he was too young to be appointed. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the chief rabbi part before the Bizman Abayis and part after the Churban Abayis for a whole 40 years. Transition until Rabbi Gamliel, after him, Rabbi Gamliel took over the position. So it was We don't know how many years was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai after the Churban HaBayis. Was he 39 years chief rabbi Bizman HaBayis and 1 year after the Churban HaBayis? Was he 39 years after the Churban HaBayis? Only 1 year before HaBayis, because you have him making takonis both Bizman HaBayis and Lacher Churban HaBayis. Moses has made 9 takonis, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Most of the takonis had to do with the Churban HaBayis. So many different things after the Churban HaBayis. So like Tzachnishtaf and Sechel, he was only chief rabbi 1 year after the Churban HaBayis, made eight out of the 9 takonis had to do with the Churban HaBayis. He made 8 takonis in 1 year. Must have been a couple of years, must have been a chief rabbi a couple of years. And then Rabbi Gamliel became chief rabbi. They didn't fire him the first day that he became chief rabbi. He was chief rabbi for a while.
He had three strikes and then he fired him.
So then they were purpling, whom should they appoint as the chief rabbi? Should they appoint Rabbi Yeshua? That'll be too much of a patch and pun him. That was the bar plukta. Should they appoint Rabbi Akiva? He doesn't have enough yichis, so he may be punished because he's aggravating Rabbi Gamliel. So they had this young rabbi Blozman Azari, who was only 18 years old, and he was a Kayin. The Gemara says he was a Kayin. He was Dora Asiri LeEzra, I think the Gemara says. Yeah. He was the 10th generation. Ezra was Ezra Kayin. Ezra, it says in Nehemiah, when they opened up the Beis HaMikdash, when they opened up the Holy Temple on the High Holidays, so they learned Kriyas HaTorah, so he got the first Aliyah. Ezra was a Kohen. So he got the first Aliyah, and he said, Baruch Asa Hashem Amvera. It quotes the Nusach HaBrocha that he said, like we say, the same Nusach that we say, regular Kriyas HaTorah. So this Rabbi Lozman Azariah was a young person, he was only 18, and then when he took the job, how are they going to have respect for him? So the Gemara says, a miracle happened, Harani Kvenshi Mishana, and he turned white overnight. He looked white, but he was only 18 years old. So how old could he? He was 18 when they fired Rabbi Gamliel and they made him the chief rabbi, and that wasn't 1 year after the Churban HaBayis. It must have been a couple of years after. So when was he born, this Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Could be he was born after the Churban HaBayis. Blazman Azariah. Could be he was born after the Churban HaBayis. Or even if he was born before, probably wasn't even bar mitzvah. 18. 5 years after bar mitzvah. Probably wasn't even bar mitzvah Bizman HaBayis. So Tesis wants to know, this Tesis over here and the same Tesis in Shabbos, what do you mean he was Mafrish Maisa Behemah? When are you Mafrish Maisa Behemah? After the Churban HaBayis, you're not Mafrish Maisa Behemah. Maisa Behemah is a korban. The farmer has a mitzvah to be Mafrish every 10th animal. Nikar Adin, he's supposed to be Mafrish Maisa Behemah Bizman HaZeh also. Maisa Behemah is Noik Behem B'fnei HaBayis, Behem Shalei B'fnei HaBayis. To set aside, to designate each 10th animal as Maisa Behemah, and then the second step is to be Makrivit Agabi HaMizeh. If you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you can't be Makriv the Maisa Behemah. So Chodesh to the first mitzvah, be Mafrish the Maisa Behemah. What do you do? Then you have to wait till it gets a mum. You have to wait till it gets a mum. Then you don't have to be Kaida.
Same thing happens nowadays with Bechor.
Same thing with Chor. Chor is Kaddish by itself. Yeah. So. So the Mishnah, so the Gemara says in the last perek in Pcheres is perek Maisa Behemah. So it says there in the last perek that after the Churban HaBayis they made a takana that you shouldn't be mafrish Maisa Behemah. Even though in the Torah you mechuyev to be mafrish Maisa Behemah, and wait till it gets mum. You're not permitted to make the mum. You have to wait till it gets mum. Sometimes it'll take a long time. So they made a takana with the Rabbanon not to be mafrish Maisa Behemah. Like Yeshkech the Achachamim Lakadov in the Torah. B'shevi al tase, but this is legamre.
Yeah.
This is like the Bach asked the Kasha, why they only make a takana with the Rabbanan not to blow shofar for Rosh Hashanah Chol Yis b'Shabbos? Shema Yavirenu, maybe somebody will carry on Shabbos. They should have done away with blowing shofar on every Rosh Hashanah period because it's Mashmiya Kol, Shema Yisakin Kleishir. So the Bach has the famous teretz, the Taz, quotes from his father-in-law, the Bach, in three different places the Taz quotes this teretz. That Yeshkach Yachachamim to be Yoyka Dovran Atar B'Shevi Al Tasma, not to be Yoyka Lagamre, Sofkal Sofa Dosein Chumish, you have to blow Shofar. So it never says explicitly you have to blow Shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Self understood. There's no reason why you shouldn't blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, Minat Torah. There's no problem. But the Rabbanon, when they want to be Yoyka Dovran Atar B'Shevi Al Tasma, want to tell you not to keep a mitzvah, they can't throw out Mikova Kola Mitzvah. So they only had the koyach to do away with the Tkiyah Shofar sometimes when it falls out on Shabbos. Here, the Gemara says they did away legamre with the whole mitzvah of Haparoshas Maisa Behemah. They said, Haparoshas Maisa Behemah is only Bizman HaBayis. Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, we would recommend not to keep the mitzvah. Mishum takala. You're going to have 13. You're going to have 13,000. This is one wealthy balbas. You're going to have 13,000 karbonis roaming around. You're not allowed to make a mum. You have to wait till it gets a mum by itself. So Mistama, someone's going to make a mistake, and they're going to meet. Someone's going to eat shchutei chutz, and someone's going to be nenef in the behemah. That what?
The kurim. Did away with the kurim.
Korban Pesach, yeah, Rabbi Gamliel. That's in the first parak in Sanhedrin, right? The Gemara has a brisa that when they used to make Ibar Ashana, they would declare this year should be Ashana Beres, so the Bezin had incorporated in the Pesach the reason why they declared Shana Muberes. So there were Tanoim who lived after the Chorban Abayis, and they said Shana Zutehim Muberes because the goats are too skinny. Goes Laya Rakikin, the Imraya Datkin, the Behemoths are too skinny. When the people are going to come for Korban Pesach, it's too skinny. We want to have another month, they should get a little fatter. So the Rishonim asked, what do you mean the Behemoths are too skinny for Korban Pesach? There was no Korban Pesach. That Tana lived after the Chorban Abayis, Rabbi Gamliel. This is Rabbi Gamliel. He lived after the Chorban Abayis. So that's what prompts some Rishonim to say that even after the Chorban Abayis, they still brought Korban Pesach. They still brought Korban Pesach.
They
sound English.
On the Harbaid.
The Romans had destroyed everything, so on Erev Pesach they would try quietly. The Romans didn't know when was Erev Pesach. They would try quietly to make the Mizbech, the Shechted Korbanos, and then they dismantled the Mizbech quickly so they shouldn't get caught. It was a Sakonis Nefoshis, and they have sources, historical sources, that it says that that's what they did. So some Rishonim say that that's why this Tana Rabbi Gamliel, who lived after the Churban Abayis, after Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai, passed away at the age of 120, then Rabbi Gamliel was appointed chief rabbi. So that Rabbi Gamliel made a Shana Muberes because of the consideration that the behemoths were not fat enough. He wanted them to get a little fatter another month till they bring Korban Pesach. So it sounds like they brought Korban Pesach. So here Tosfos has this problem. If Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was only 18 years old when he became the chief rabbi, so he probably may not even have been born. His man abayis. Even if he was born, probably wasn't even bar mitzvah. So what do you mean? Is makrish ma'ase behemah? What kind of father gestorben? No, yeah. Father left him.
Yerusha.
That's not a kasha. He left him a Yerusha.
Yeah.
But the shaila is who is makrish ma'ase behemah? A cotton before bar mitzvah is makrish ma'ase behemah. That's what it means. Unless it means he had an apotropis. Tosfos says maybe he had an apotropis. An apotropis was makrish ma'ase behemah. A little kid was stolen before bar mitzvah, nishkin bar das. So he probably cannot be makrish meister behemah. That's one suggestion Tosfos gives. Maybe he was a little kid and he had an apotropis. An apotropis is makrish meister behemah. Well, Tosfos says maybe it was taka after the Churban Abayis, and it says kol shata v'shata every year. Sounds like it happened more than twice. Kol shata v'shata every year. So Tosfos says maybe for 5 years in a row. Maybe after the Churban Abayis he was bar mitzvah. And he was mafresh meiser behemah for a couple of years. And it says in the Gemara that after the Churban Abayis they made a takanim rabbanon that no one should be mafresh meiser behemah. So Tosfos says maybe he wasn't on Tisha B'Av, but Tzoy Tisha B'Av they already made exam. Mistama took a couple of years when they could took a couple of years, when they realized that they are falling into a problem. There's a mikshol that people are
behemah is no anyway.
Could have been. Yeah. So Tosfos suggests that perhaps it took a couple of years till he made the Gzeira. So in those first few years after the Churban Abayis, and he was already bar mitzvah, so maybe that's when Kol Shata V'Shata every year he would be Mafrish Ma'aseh Behemah. That's the second suggestion that Tosfos gives. Then Tosfos has a third suggestion that maybe when it says he was Mafrish Ma'aseh Behemah, maybe it means for taxes, for the government. Maybe it doesn't mean Ma'aseh Behemah, the mitzvah that says in the Chumash at the end of the Chukaisai that you have to bring Ma'aseh Behemah to the Beis HaMikdash every 10th one of the court. Maybe it means the government took taxes like that.
Even a high tax bracket.
Okay.
It's only 10%,
whichever,
though.
Whichever. This is the historical problem that Tosfos is working on. These are the three solutions that they give. So there's a Rashbo and Shabbos on Daf Nun Dal. And here it says that this same Tosfos appears there on Shabbos. Daf Nun Dal with all the three suggestions. So there's a Rashbo there in Shabbos quotes some Rishonim who say it has to be the third pshat. It has to be that it was taxes. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah shteitach he was dor asiri liyezer given a koyin. Since when does the kohen give ma'aser? Since when does the kohen give ma'aser the heima? So obviously behechreyach, it must be that this was taxes.
So it could have been from the mother's side somehow.
No. So that's what the later achrayim asked. Where does it say anywhere in Shas that a kohen doesn't give ma'aser behema?
Mm-hmm.
He made up a fact that a kohen doesn't give ma'aser behema. Why should a kohen not give ma'aser behema?
Does a kohen give truma if he has fields?
A kohen has to be mafresh truma. He can give it himself. He can keep it for himself. Challah. Let's say a kohen bakes bread or take out cookies. It has to be mafresh challah to remove the yisat tevel. And then if he wants, he can keep it himself. If he wants, he can give it to another kohen. But there's no reason. Pidyon HaBen is not exactly. Pidyon HaBen, if the son is a kohen. If the kohen's son is a kohen, so a kohen doesn't need Pidyon HaBen. Let's say the kohen marries a grusha, and the son is a chalal. So the son needs Pidyon HaBen, except that the father, when the kid becomes 31 days old, the father doesn't have to give it to someone else, he can keep it himself. But the Gemara says, what if the father dies before the kid is 31 days old? Then the kid is Nishkin Kohen, because the mother was a grusha and the kid is a chalal. So then the halacha says in Yeridei, it's a Gemara in the end of Pcharis, in Perek Yesh Pcharis, that the kid needs Pidyon HaBen. If the father dies after the 31st day, it's considered, it's farechant as if he gave himself the Pidyon HaBen money. So the kid doesn't have to give later. But if the father, the kohen, dies within the 31 days, then the kid has to take and give Pidyon HaBen later on.
That makes some kind of a little
bit
of a
So that's a question. Who do you give Maisa Behema to? So Rashi Achumish, the end of the Kaisai, says that the farmer brings it to the Beis Hamikdash and the farmer eats it. And Rashi on the Gemara always says like that, on the Mishnah. Rashi says, like Maisa Shane, right? Rashi says, because it never says anywhere that it's a Matnas Kuhuna. So we assume that it's not, since it doesn't say that you have to give it to the client. So it's self understood. The farmer keeps it himself. And there are some Goyim who claim that Maisa Behema is one of the Chof Dalet Matnas Kuhuna. Where'd they get that ein from? Hechatesa? That Maisa Behema is one of the Chof Dalet Matnas Kuhuna? So the answer is, it's a Pasuk in Dira Yomim. It's a Pasuk in Dira Yomim. It's Shteit Beferish. When they came back in the beginning of Bai Sheni, the Mafish Maisa Behema, so it says, and they gave the Maisa Behema to the Kohanim. So what does Rashi do with the Pasuk in Dira Yomim? That's a problem? Okay, that's a problem. That's what the Netziv talks about. The last Netziv on Bechul Kosei, on Chumash Vayikra, he has footnotes in the back of the Bir HaNetziv on Chumash. He says the source for these Goinim, who had this Einfall that the Maisa Behem is from the Matan's Kune, where did they get it from? There's no Pasuk in Chumash, no Mokar in the Gemara. So he says the Mokar is the Pasuk in Dibra Yom, that it says that they gave it to the Kohen. What does Rashi do with that Pasuk in Dibra Yom? Rashi always says on the Gemara. Lo Motzino never
both,
says.
They both told it's 24, right?
Yeah. The Gemara has a Brisa that. The problem is that they're way more than 24. So you're combining a few together. Like there are 613 mitzvahs. There are billions of mitzvahs. When you get 613 mitzvahs, so you have to count a lot of mitzvahs together, and the whole machlokes and the rishonim is, how do you juggle around? Minyan mitzvahs, which do you count together, which do you count separately? But there are many more than 613. So here also, there are many more than 24 matnas kuna. The Rashi on Chulin, in the end of Chulin, Perek HaZrava, Chayayin Rakeva, Rashi makes a cheshbon what the 24 are. Another Rishonim and another Gonim have a different cheshbon. The one who has a whole Arichas on this is, he has all the side topics, Rabbi Yochum Perla. He wrote a long commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos L'Rav Sadia Gaon. He was a big Talmid Chacham, he lived in Europe, his wife had a shop, and he sat and learned, I think, for 40 years, and he kept on writing his beer, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he died in Eretz Yisrael after the war. After the Second World War. So he died before HaKamas HaMedina. So he has, Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a poem, where he lists off all of the Taryag mitzvahs, and you can't tell exactly, sometimes in the poetry, you can't tell exactly what the mitzvah is, and why, which one is he counting, which one is he not counting. So this was Rabbi Yochum Perla's whole life's work. He took this poem that's in Gansen, 2-3 pages long, and he made it into 3 fat volumes, the size of each one the size of Bov Vasa, and he has 3 lines, and then he has 50 pages. Then he had 3 lines from the poem, and another 50 pages. Rav Sadia Gaon's poem. It's not exactly a poem, but it's a little bit like a dozen So Nishkin Gramen, but it's poetry. So he works out what a shita was and which mitzvahs he counts and which he didn't count. And he does research. This Rabbi Ruchem Pevler did research. He quotes piyutim and he quotes slichas and he quotes kinnas and he quotes rishayin makomish, all kinds of obscure sources that in yeshivas no one ever heard of these things. So he discusses all of these esoteric topics of halacha that no one ever thinks about. So this is one of his long arichasim about which are the chavtalat matans kuhunas. He has a long arichas, how these rishayim counted, others rishayim counted, and he has this big discovery that there's a significant group of goyim who claim that that Maisa Behemoth when the chavtalat matans kuhunas. Permitted to eat. Permitted to be eaten by a non-Kohen. Like Zerola Chayam Ba'akeva is Matnas Kohen, you have to give it to a Kohen. Then the Kohen, if he wants, can give it to a non-Kohen to eat. He can invite non-Kohen. If I give Truma, if I give Chatos to the Kohen, he's not allowed to be Mechabin a non-Kohen to eat it. But the Mishnah says that Maisa Behem, may be, it never says that it's Matnas Kohen.
But that's
in Yerushalayim, yeah, it's Kachim Kalim. Right, right. Right, right. This is Kashim Kalam has to be eaten in the Yerushalayim.
I was thinking more so. I think there was a bunch of stuff where it was the chorus. And if I recall, it says it's superfluous. So I think the Gemara there says, well, in the Zed, Nelin and Acha. And I think there, I think he just bounces it off on Meiser, on Meiser Behemoth. Nelin and Zed, Nelin and Acha.
That
Meiser Behemoth
is what?
I think
Mishon al Chavata the Gemara has, yeah, that it says by Meister, when you have oranges and potatoes and grain, so Aser Tassis cultivos Aracha Yetasoda Shona Shona. That every year, not only can you not be Machish from the second year on the third year, that's a Meister Sheni year, this is a Meister Rani year. Of the third year to the fourth year, one is Meister Rani, one is Meister Sheni. Even the first year with the second year, you have to be Machish everything separately, because it says Shona Shona every year separately. So the Gemara learns that from the Hekesh between Meiser, Trumas, and Meisris, that Meiser Dagon, the Meiser Behemoth, that who are the Nami, the Behemoths that are born in 1 year, Behemoths are born in the next year, you don't mix them together. Let's say you have, 130,000 Behemoths were born 1 year, 130,000 Behemoths born the next year, you don't mix the 260,000 Mafresh Meiser Behemoths. You have to be Mafresh these 130,000 separately, and those 130,000 separately. You're not supposed to mix together. That the Gemara says. That there's a hekesh in the pasuk between Maisa Behema and Maisa Dagon, with respect to the din of Mishon al Chavta. But the Gemara never says one way or the other whether it's Matnas Kuna. So Rashi writes in several places, on Chumash and in several places on Mishnayis and Gemaras, never says so it's self understood that it's not from the Matnas Kuna. What does Rashi do with that pasuk in Divrei Hayomim? That's the Netziv Shaila. So the Netziv comes up with his fantastic Ein Falat, there's such a concept as a mitzvah Hoshus. Let's say a person has 10 tape recorders and it decides to be Mafresh Maisa. He'll set aside one tape recorder, this is Maisa, and he'll give it away to the Levi. It's ridiculous. There's no such thing as Maisa. Let's say in Paris they're growing chutzlars, so he'll decide Amidas Chasidus, he'll give Trumas and Maisa. It's not Chal, it's nothing. But once in a Yovel, once in a long, long time, there is such a thing. You're not mechuyav to do something, but if you do it, there is a kiyum ha-mitzvah. There is such a kiyum ha-mitzvah. Even though you're not mechuyav to do it, but if you do it, there is a kiyum ha-mitzvah. So the Netziv wants to say that maybe even though Rashi is of the opinion that Maisa Behem is not from the Matnas Kuna, but the Pasuk says that they fought, they gave it to the Kohanim. So he says, since it appears in Chumash, in the context of other Matnas Kunas, and maybe the Halacha implies that there's a Rishus, that if you give it to the Kohanim, if he's a poor kohen avadi, you support it or not? Yeah, but we're talking a rich kohen.
Yeah.
There is a mitzvah kiyumis of Maisa Behema. If you give it to the kohen, it constitutes a mitzvah Maisa Behema. Maybe. So Rabbi Ruchem Perler in his essay, that's sefer, Rabbi Ruchem Perler, sefer mitzvah of Sadi Goyim years ago was not available. So this part that he has a whole arichas on the 24 Matnas Kuna, this was gegamvit by two famous scholars. Two famous scholars published essays where they stole all of the Marmukhaimus Geseda. They lifted everything because it wasn't available. So one of them was in the 1940s printed. That time the Takhtar Sefer was not available in America. He gambled the whole Arichas of Rabbi Ruchem Perler. Another one gambled in the recent years. The book is available. So he gambled the book from the local library. I remember I told a certain Rav, Rav David Cohen quoted this issue in his sefer on Divrei Yom. He has a sefer on the Vim Ksuvim. So he quoted this issue in his kuntris on Divrei Yomim, that the pasuk says that they gave the ma'aseh behemah to the kohanim. It seems that it's matnas kunis. So he refers you to look in this kuntris that Rabbi so and so, Rabbi Hudson Klotz wrote. So I called him up and I told him, instead of giving Hudson Klotz, you should give the original source. He stole it from Yochum Pella. So he says, Gevald. He says that character used to daven his shul, that ganef, and he borrowed the sefer of Ruchem Perla for 5 years, and he never gave it back. He says now he understands why he never gave it back, because he printed it in his own name. He just touched it up, modern Hebrew, and he put it out in his own name. But now everybody knows the one in the 1940s, and he was a famous Talmud Chacham, and this guy's a ganef mafursim, ganef and money, ganef and all kinds of areas, ganef and money also. So they both gone with this whole country. So Rabbi Ruchem Perla there points out that the Rashba in Shabbos Daf Nun Dalet quotes this additional argument that it has to be Maisa Behemah that he gave was taxes. It doesn't make any sense to say that it was Maisa Behemah. Zokter a Kohen. Whoever heard that a Kohen gives Maisa Behemah? So yes, where did he come off to make such a statement? Where did he get such an einfah? So he says if one should assume that Maisa Behemah is from the Matnas Kuna, then there's what to consider. Then it's a tzushtel to Petach Hamor. The Mishnah says, Kohanim are not mechuyev to give Petach Hamor at all. Why? Why are they going to give Petach Hamor to someone else? They're not mechuyev in the first place, Petach Hamor. So if Maisa Behemoth is Matnas Kuna, then you can begin to understand why there should be Goyim. It still doesn't necessarily follow, because a Kohen who bakes cake and cookies has to be Mafish Chal, he keeps it. A Kohen who has tefuah growing in his field has to be mafish trumah, and he keeps the trumah. So here also, want to be mafish ma'aseh behemah, keep it. But at least there's one to begin to work with to say that a Kohen doesn't give ma'aseh behemah. That's the Rashba. That's the Rabbi Yochanan Perla's Rashba and Shabbos on Daf Nun Dalet. That the Rashba also quotes such a shita sagainim that ma'aseh behemah is lekohen. It's from the Mechav Dalet Matnas Kuna.
A coin has to give for a Levi, to a Levi, does the coin have to give, or if he has two in his own field?
Is the coin obligated to give to another? So the Pashtus should have been as follows. There is a machloikis in the second Perek and Ksubis between Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lozim, and Azariah. Who do you have to give Maaseh Rishon to? Are you only Yotze if you give it to a Levi? If you give it to a coin, you're not Yotze? Well, no, Minatera, it's optional to give either to a Kohen or to a Levi. So that's a Machleg Satanoim. I forgot already who holds which way. Machleg Zerbe Kivin, Ablozim, and Azai. And then Ezra penalized the Levim. The Gemara says, because in the beginning of the Baisheni, hardly any, the percentage of Levim who showed up was very small, was very low. So Ezra penalized the Levim. So exactly what was the penalty? So the Gemara says that it depends. If the din derais is that Maaseh Rishon can only be given to a Levi, so then the nature of the penalty was to change the din derais a little bit, then you have an option, either to give to a Kohen or to give to a Levi. And if the din derais is that you either give to a Kohen or to a Levi, then the penalty must have been that you only give to a Kohen. You don't give it all to the Levi. So that's what the Gemara says. Whatever the din derais is, the penalty of Ezra was one step away from the Levim. One step away. So the Pashup Shat in the Gemara should be that if Maaseh Rishon, Pashto should be that if Maaseh Rishon can be given either to a Kohen or to a Levi, Minatoram, so then if a Kohen has a field, it has to be Mafish to Magdoi, he can keep it. Mafish Maaseh Rishon, can he keep it, or does he have to give it to a Levi? So it depends. If the Din Minatoram is that you can either give Maaseh Rishon to a Kohen or to a Levi, so keep it. If the Din Minatoram is you have to give it Dafka to a Levi, so what? How can you keep it? You're not a Levi. You have to give it away to a Levi. That should be Pashup Shat. And the Rambam state not so. The Rambam paskins that Minatoram, you're only Yotze if you give Maaseh Rishon to a Levi. If you, the very beginning of Hilchas Maaseh, the first page. If you give to a Kohen, you're not Yotze Minatoram, only to a Levi. But the Rambam on the same page writes that a Kohen who has a farm, when he's Mafish Maaseh Rishon, he can keep it, he doesn't have to give it. So how can he keep it?
Yeah.
If he's not Yotze Nesina to give to a Kohen, so how can he keep it? So the Minchas Chinuch asks that on the Rambam. At the end of...
Yeah.
the negiah to some din.
The rationale to give Maisa Rishon to the lady, that was the compensation,
And then he says, but if a kohen has a farm, he's mechuyev to be mafresh truma gedolah, and he keeps it for himself. He's mechuyev to mafresh ma'aser revish, and he keeps it for himself. How can he keep it for himself? He's not a levi. No. The Gemara says in Ksuvos, Ezra's takana was to shift the din deraisa one step. He penalized the levim. So whatever the din deraisa was, he moved it away a little bit. So if the din deraisa is that you're only yotzei, if you give to a levi, says you made a penalty to the levim. You have an option. If you want, you can give to a kohen or a levi. And if the din deraisa is, you have an option either to a kohen or to a levi. And the penalty was only to give it to a kohen, not to give. That's what it says in the Gemara in the second paragraph. But the Rambam writes chiddush that's very difficult. The Rambam writes, the Minchas Chinuch quotes the Ritva, says the Farish against it. He quotes the Ritva in Kiddush in the end of the second paragraph. Says the Farish against the Rambam that if the din deraisa is that Maiserishan can only be yotzei by giving it to a levi. So if a kohen has a farm, he has to give away the Maiserishan to a levi. How can he keep it for himself? The Rambam dafim fashtein. Okay. Have an essay in my safe on that Rambam. The Rambam has gemaras. He has a couple of gemaras that indicate like him that there's no chiyuv in the scene at all. Right, there's no kares.
So maybe it doesn't carry over
into Yom Kippur. Right, the Seisa, I think, does not carry over to Yom
Kippur. Because
it can't be. There is no Shvises Bemt on Yom Kippur. That could be, because on Yom Kippur, I think the Shulchan Aruch says like that. There's no Din Shvises Bemt on Yom Kippur. That's correct. I think in the Shulchan Aruch it says the Ramo quotes that from the Beis Yosef. That is Machadish. The only thing you carry over from Shabbos to Yom Tov are Malachas. And she's bent those are different things. It's not really a Malach.
No love.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Basically, it was a Lav Eish. You don't carry over.
If you hold Avor, it's only the Lav Yot. It's not a Malach, so it doesn't carry over.
Actually, the Mishnah doesn't belong to you.
No, why? The next case, the other two cases, which belong here.
Yeah, but the first line only goes on Shabbos, not on Yom.
So they're making the all three together.
Okay.
All three things that they didn't agree.
The same Mishnah appears in Shabbos also. On Nun Dalet, a Mishnah in Shabbos. Same. Okay. All three, even though the second and the third only have a Shaychus with Yom, and the first one is only Shabbos. So the Mishnah had to appear in both Mesichtas. Okay.
So the second case is on Yom.
Right. So the second case is only on Yom. The second case is there was a Machlokes HaTanoim. If the person has a farm and the animal has an itch, so you
scratch it.
So you want to scratch the animal. So the shaila was, if you scratch the animal with a light instrument, that the vadai will not cause any hair to get ripped off, then l'chorid there's no shaila. Shaila is, what if you're going to scratch the animal with an instrument, with a comb, that may or may not pull out hair? So that's called a dov shein miskaven. A person does a pula hamuteres. You're permitted to scratch an animal's back. He does a pula hamuteres, which may or may not result in an isa, which may or may not turn out to be a malacha of what will be if you scratch the animal and it either pull out hair or starts to bleed. Either to pull out hair is a malacha of gozes, or to cause chabura. If it's definitely going to happen, then Rashi and Tosis say that it's a psikration. That's the bottom Tosis. Yeah. Then kuli alma moda, that's a psikration that you're not allowed to. But we're talking that it's not a psikration. Isn't it a psikration? Yeah, the Pashtus is psikration and the Rabbanon is also forbidden. Yeah, why is it goes is only with the Rabbanon? Because he doesn't play, it's ain't Tzvichel Agufa, he's not going to use the wool that's pulled out.
It's like a day of Gziza also.
Right.
He doesn't want to have to see the behemoth bleed.
Okay. So it would appear that Psik Reish Ula Nichalei is Asa, Phanis Rishonim. The Orach holds Psik Reish Ula Nichalei is Mutter. So he would disagree with Taisus, but the Taisus here goes Lashitasa.
Yeah. Isn't that Moshe say that Psik Reish Ula Rabban by Sita, by speaking up in here, is permitted, but on Shabbat, but it's Sita Rabban?
Squeezing out the hair is a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says by the Yoledes, a woman is about to give birth and they need oil and you have to carry the oil from one side of the street to the other. You want to do Aide Shinoi. So the Gemara says pour the oil in someone's hair. It's not too sanitary. The Gemara says pour the oil into a woman's hair, has a lot of hair, shekel, whatever, and then have the woman walk across the street and then squeeze out oily oil from her hair. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What happened to Schita? So the Gemara says, you see that there's no Schita Beseir. So not Gemara, there's a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. What does that mean? Means it's heta gomer. There's no schita b'seir, not min haTorah, not min haRabbanon. Heta gomer. Oh no, there's no isa deraisa schita b'seir, but there is an isa deRabbanon. And here we're talking a yoledes. There is a shtikl sakonis nefashis. So the Gemara says rather than carry across the street the adayim, so carry kalachayad, which is only deRabbanon. If you carry the oil across the street by pouring it in the hair, it's also carrying, but it's carrying kalachayad. So it's better to do at the Rabbanon of carrying kalachayad and the Rabbanon of squeezing out rather than to violate an Issa deraisa of carrying the bottle of oil across the street. So that's a machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. Is there an Issa deRabbanon or is there not an Issa deRabbanon? So Rabbi Moshe talks about it. Even if you assume that there is an Issa deRabbanon, it's only if the person is squeezing lahedya. It's like a marisayin of squeezing, so to speak. It's not really a malachim deRabbanon. It's a marisayin because the if you have water absorbed in a garment and you squeeze it, that's a real malach of malabing. But here it's only a marisayin of a schita. So if it's not lahedya, even if it's a shtikl of psikreishis, so Ramosha says not so bad. Ramosha talks about using a toothbrush. So he says he holds that to hold a toothbrush under the flowing water and then to brush your teeth with that, he holds it, that's like squeezing out the droplets of water that are absorbed in the bristles. Aye, but the bristles are not absorbent?
Yeah.
Doesn't absorb anything. So he says the hair is not absorbent either, but the water gets caught in the hair. If a person has wet hair, so the water gets caught in between the hair, and then you squeeze it out, that's a machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. So Rashi holds that the same machlokes Rashi in the Rambam would apply if you hold a toothbrush under the water. So what can you do? You can't brush your teeth at all. Ramosha says no. He says take a cup of water and rinse your mouth, and then you spit out the water, and then your mouth will be a little bit moist. And then take a dry toothbrush and then start brushing the teeth. Within 2 seconds the toothbrush will absorb all the water and all the saliva, and then you're squeezing it right there. So he says no, as long as you don't do it lahedya, because the Yisus, he holds that it's not even a malachim midrabbanan. Those hold that it's us, sir. It's like a marisayin midrabbanan. So the marisayin only is if you took a wet toothbrush, you take wet hair and then you squeeze it. But if it's not, clearly, you know it's going to get wet, but then when it's going to get wet, it's going to be squeezing in, squeezing out. So he says he doesn't think that you have to be so machmir over here. But if you have a real issa derabbanan, you have a real bona fide malach derabbanan, not some marisayin, a real malach derabbanan, then you're not allowed to do it even if it's... Dovashayna miskaven, if it's a psikresha, you're not allowed to do it. The Morgan Avram quotes such an opinion from the Trumas Adeshin, that psikresha and Issa de Rabbanan is muta. But it's a very difficult sheet. Nobody agrees with that. So here the Gemara is talking about this machlokes hatanoim. If you're going to scratch the animal in such a way, they're just going to lightly, and probably is no chance. Probably not going to cause any bleeding, not going to cause any hair to get ripped out. So there's no problem. So that's mutter. Lucharit should be mutter. The only time is what to discuss. The only time is what to discuss is you're going to use such a comb that may or may not cause bleeding. It may or may not, let's concentrate on bleeding, it may or may not cause to pull out some of the hair. So that's a machloikas hatanayim. That's called dovashayna miskaven. I'm scratching the animal's back, which is a pula hamuteres. That's permissible. But I'm scratching in such a way that I know that it may or may not cause a malacha to occur. It may or may not cause bleeding. It may or may not cause geziza. So that's called Dovashayna Miskaven and Machlokes Satanayim, where the Dovashayna Miskaven is Asr. A beautiful Dovashayna Miskaven is Asr. It's like Suffolk Deraisa L'chumra. I know in advance that it may or may not cause a malacha. So you're not allowed to do it. And we paskin like Reb Shimon. We paskin like the Chachamim, that Dovashayna Miskaven is Mutter. So here the shaila is, who are you talking about over here? You're talking about a yeshiva bach, you're talking about a talmud chacham, talking about a farmer. So you're going to tell the farmer, this comb you're allowed to use and that comb you're not allowed to use. So the farmer's going to know to halt cup. This comb.
Yes.
So that's why one Tana holds, when you talk with farmers, you have to ask for all the combs. You're not allowed to permit the farmer to use any comb, because if you give him a heter for a comb, that's the main, and you're allowed to use the other comb. And the other Tana says, no, the farmers are not so stupid. You explain to him, this is a Dov Shein in his cabin, and this is a Nishkan Dov Shein in his cabin. If you think there's a possibility that it's going to cause bleeding, then you're not allowed to do it. If you don't think it's going to cause bleeding, then it's mutter. So that's the machlokes. So that's what the Gemara says. The Shalosh machlokes b'dover. The Gemara says there are three opinions. According to the way we pass, and the Gemara says that's halachic Reb Shimon. Three lines before the bottom, the Gemara says Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. What is it? Amar Rav. Four lines before the bottom of the dove. Amar Rav. Amar Rav Nachman. Amar Shmuel. Rav says that he heard from Rav Nachman. Who heard in the name of Shmuel. Heard from Shmuel. The Amri Law. Another version has it. Amar Rav Nachman Luchudei. Not that A said from B, who said from C. Rav Nachman said on his own. Right? So what's the conclusion? Halacha Reb Shimon that what? The Dov Shenim is Kamen is Mutter. That's in Masecha Shabbos.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing Machloikis. Every 10 blocks it's Machloikis Rabbi Reb Shimon. And it's a Machloikis Rav Shmuel. Whether you pass him like Rav Yudah, you pass him like Reb Shimon. But the final Maskan is over here that the Din is like Reb Shimon. Why? Because Reb Lazar ben Azariah says so. And we follow Reb Lazar ben Azariah. Is not quoted so often. We usually follow what Reb Lazar ben Azariah has to say. Here, the first thing, we don't follow Reb Lazar ben Azariah. They got angry about Reb Lazar ben Azariah. But on the second, on the Parosa Yaitz, on the Mekardin, that the din is like Reb Lazar ben Azariah. That what? You're even permitted to scratch the animal's back in such a way where you know in advance that it may or may not cause bleeding. If it's a vadois that it's going to cause bleeding, then Rashi and Taisa say it's a psikreshe. According to the Aruch would say psikreshe lo nichale. Well, he's not interested in the bleeding. So the Aruch would say psikreshe lo nichale is muta. And most of the Rishonim were not happy with that Aruch. Most of the Rashi and Taisa, most of the Rishonim say psikreshe lo nichale is asa. So we're not talking about a psikreshe. We're talking, we know in advance that it may or may not cause bleeding. So then there's a machloikis. So that's the machlokes where the Dov Shein is Kamen is Mutar Asa. Reb Lazar ben Azariah holds like Reb Shimon. Because there's a chance that it may cause a chabura, so it's a Dov Shein is Kamen is Asa. Avo, the Mishnah quotes Mekartzefin, but to use a comb to scratch the animal that you know for sure it's not going to cause any bleeding, that's Mutter. The Chachamim say by farmers you're going to allow this and you're going to Asa that. You have to Asa everything. So the Chachamim made Xer de Rabbanon, hey, Mekardin Aflei Mekartzefin. We don't allow the farmer to scratch the animal's back in such a way that it's a Dov Shein is Kamen. If he knows an event that may not cause bleeding, and even if it's a Vadois, it's not going to cause bleeding, we also don't allow it because of Xerah. He may use the wrong kind of comb, and it'll be Bali Day Isser of Dov Shein is Kamen. That's the gist of the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. V'sholosh machloik is v'dovo. There are three opinions among the Tanoim. The basic machloik is with the Dov Shein is Kamen Aser Amuter. And then in Temtzilayim, the Dov Shein is Kamen is also, does that necessarily lead you to make a Gzera de Rabbanon on farmers that you don't even allow them to scratch the animal with such a light comb that it's a Vadois that nothing is going to happen? Do you have to make a Gzera or not? So here there's a big problem. Here there is a big problem that Achreinim talk about. They don't really have a good solution. There is a famous Tosfos in Perakira. And in Yuma, there's a gigantic Taisus that goes a whole. The Taisus, I think, goes Lamed Dalar on the base, and Yuma goes over to Lamed Hamad Aleph. A long Taisus about Dov Shein is Kamen, about Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufo. So Taisus there develops the same theme that they have in Shabbos and Perakira. And those are long Subas. There's a long Shittim Kubetzis, and the first Perak goes on pages and pages and pages on this topic. According to the Tana Rabbi Yudah, who holds that Dov Shein is Kamen in his Osir, is that an Issa deraisa or is that only an Issa derabbanan? So the Gemara talks about Dov Shein is Kaven regarding different issues. Davar Sheni Miskaven, we're usually used to thinking of Davar Sheni Miskaven Hilchos Shabbos for Melachos. The person is going to open the refrigerator. Let's say it's permissible to open the refrigerator, but he knows that the bulb may go on, the bulb may not go on. He doesn't know. The light may go on. Doesn't know if they unscrewed the bulb or they didn't unscrew the bulb. So by opening the door, he may or may not be causing the light to go on. He may or may not cause the motor to start, whatever. So that's a Davar Sheni Miskaven Hilchos Shabbos. We usually used to think of Davar Sheni Miskaven Hilchos Shabbos. But Davar Sheni Miskaven appears in other areas of halacha. It's not unique to Hilchos Shabbos. For example, there's a din, the Gemara in the end of Zvachim discusses this, and Tosis quotes it in the topic of Davar Sheni Miskaven. Let's say somebody brings a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, so there's a din, minchas v'niskeim kemedubah. You have to bring a mincha in conjunction with a korban, and you have to pour wine down the shisim, down the pipes on the side of the mizbeach. What if the person isn't bringing a korban, and in conjunction with the korban you have minchas v'niskeim? He donates a bottle of wine to the Beis HaMikdash. So what are they going to do with a bottle of wine? So that's not a nisuch hayayin in conjunction with a korban. The whole carbon consists of wine. So then the Gemara says, you can't be yotzei by pouring it down the pipes. A carbon you have to put on a fire. So if you brought a carbon of an animal and you burn the fat of the animal on the fire, so then you can take the wine and pour it down the pipes. But if the whole carbon consists of the wine, so you got to pour the wine on the fire in such a way that it should evaporate and the smoke should go up to heaven, like when you burn the fat of the emurim, of the carbon. So the smoke goes up to heaven as if you're delivering airmail, a matana to the Rabbanu Shlom in heaven, so to speak. As if it's going up to a matana to the Rabbanu Shlom. So but the Gemara says, but you have a problem? If you're going to pour the wine on the fire, on the Mizbeach, so there's a Dinesh Tami Tukar on the Mizbeach, there's a lot, you know, HaMechabe, and even if you have a big fire and you pour wine and it just puts out part of the fire, the rest of the fire is still burning. The Gemara says, if you married one gachelis from the Mizbeach, you're right on the lava of Lysich and you get Malchus. So what are you going to do over here? You can't just pour it down the shisin, you can't pour it down the pipes. There's no lachma shalishim. You have to burn something on the fire. And the other hand, you're going to burn it on the fire, you're going to probably extinguish some of the flame. So the Gemara says, it's okay. You shouldn't take a bottle of wine and start pouring on the fire. Of course, sprinkle it. The Gemara says you sprinkle it on the fire, so some of it will get evaporated and go up in smoke, and some of it will extinguish a little bit. Maybe no. So the Gemara says adav shenim miskaven nishgefela. So the Gemara says, is that acceptable or not? So that depends on Rabbi Yudah Rab Shimon. If you hold adav shenim miskaven as mutter, that's an eitzah. The way we pass like Rab Shimon, that's a good eitzah. It's Davar Sheni Miskaven. Or the Gemara talks about Davar Sheni Miskaven in other prohibitions also. Not in the Gemara talks about Kotzis Baharis and then Shuv Davar Sheni Miskaven. The Moel is performing a bris mila on a baby, and there's a nega tzaras punkt on the orlo. So the din is that you're not allowed to cut off a nega tzaras. You're not allowed to be mitayer and mitzora without first consulting a kohen. If the kohen paskens that it's a nega tohar, it's a mara tohar, then you're allowed to cut it off. But if you didn't bring the issue to a kohen, you're just going to cut it off and take the law into your own hands. That's a prohibition. So the Gemara says, if the moil cuts off the nega tzaras, so the Gemara says, if it's my baby and I'm performing the bris milah, and I'm so concerned about this nega tzaras, so of course I'm going to be miskaveing to kavonis. I'm going to have an zin to be out to the mitzvah milah. I'm going to have an zin to get rid of this negat saras. For my baby, who wants that his baby should have a negat saras. So of course it's going to be a dovah hamiskaveh. If the moil comes, the moil gets paid to do the bris milah. Gets paid, doesn't get paid. He's not another baby. He doesn't care. Yeah, negat saras. Yeah, you go to your doctor. You take care. He doesn't look. Maybe the kid has a negat saras on his behind. Maybe he has behind his ears. The mole doesn't look, he just looks on the orla, cuts off the orla. He's not interested in worrying about a negat tzaras. So the Gemara says that's considered a davar sheni miskaven. It may or may not turn out that he's mitar the baby shalav. Correct. No, the Gemara says it's you're allowed to be mal on Shabbos. That's a Negat Saras is not Doicha. Essay is not Doicha Loisvets, because the Gemara says it's a Loisvets of Essay. So negatzeras to cut off is a lois essay and an essay. Lishma v'lasis k'chol asher yeres k'makan malvim. So the Gemara says hisham v'lachav negatzeras is a lois essay, and lishma miyot v'lasis k'chol asher yeres k'makan malvim. That's an essay. The Gemara says not deicha. The Gemara says that mila is deicha shabbos, mila bezmano is deicha shabbos bezmano. It also can't really be based on essay deicha lois essay because shabbos is also an essay v'lois essay. You're right. Yeah. So the Gemara says a special thing. It's not really based. Yeah. But the Rambam, when the Rambam quotes the din of Mila Bezman is Dechel Shabbos, he says that's part of the din of Eser Dechel Oises. So the Mishnah Melech asked on the Rambam. It's not what it says in the Gemara. So he says, no, the Gemara says it's not the regular din of Eser Dechel Oises. Not the standard din. The Pasuk, B'yom HaShmini Yimol, Afilu B'Shabbos, is Megala. Then here it's an extension of the din. It's a branch of the din. It's not a separate din. It's a branch of the din of Eser Deicha Lo Ises. But the other one is not a branch. The other one just doesn't work. Essay is not Deicha Lo Ises, the essay of Neged Saraz. So the Gemara there talks about this. So the Gemara says, if the father is going to be the Moyal and he's going to be cutting off the Neged Saraz, so the Gemara says, his Mamish Ham is coming. So we would recommend the father should not do, unless he can't get another Moyal. He's the only Moyal. Hatanish can bear it. So Milo Bidman is Deicha everything. He has no choice. He has to do it. But let's say he can get another Moyal. So the Gemara says, let the other moel do the, let someone else do the bris, because the other moel won't be interested in being matar the baby. It's not his kid. He's not worried. He may not even, he'll notice quickly. It's a neged saras. He won't even think what's happening. So as far as the moel is concerned, the Gemara considers it a davar shein miskaven. Not shver shtikel Gemara there, but the Gemara considers it a davar shein miskaven. So you see from the Gemara that the discussion of davar shein miskaven also mutter is not specifically hilchos Shabbos. It's in kol haterakula, and the Gemara understands that the issue is a machlokes on the level of deraisa. Rabbi Yehuda holds davar shein miskaven as aser is an isa deraisa. The Gemara says you work with psukim. Who's going to do the bris milah? Psukim are dealing with dinim deraisa. Rabbi Shimon holds davar shein miskaven is mutter even on the level of deraisa. It's mutter. You don't say sfeika deraisa luchumra. It's mutter. So that's what Taisus has, a big machlokes. All the Rishonim are involved in this machlokes. When Rabbi Yehuda holds davar shein miskaven is aser on Shabbos, he also holds that that's also deraisa. Or is he masking maximum that could be is only the rabbanon? Kol sof stachforta. How can you call it meleches machsheves? On Shabbos, it's not that malocha is prohibited. Malocha is mutter. Meleches machsheves is aser. So if you have a davar shein miskaven, he's not really interested. He knows it may or may not turn out that it'll be a malacha. How can he call that a malacha mashal? So that's what Taisus has, this big chiddush, and they have a Gemara in Yuma and Daf Lamed Daled. They interpret that that's what the Gemara says beferish, that even Rabbi Yehuda, who says that davar shein miskaven is aser on Shabbos and Yontif, the maximum it could be is only the Rabbanan. It's not going to come to it's not going to be a violation there, right? So that's a kasha that the Achronim asked over here. What is right? It's an Issa Deraisa, right? That's the problem that the Achrayim is. The Machlek is the fundamental Machlek of Yerub Shimu with the Davar shein miskaven aser muta that we understand. But then the further Machlek is the Chachamim say, a farmer, you're going to tell a farmer that you're not allowed to do this, you're allowed to do that. The farmer will confuse everything. You have to be machma everything because we're afraid if you'll allow that he should use a soft comb, next thing he's going to use a hard comb and it'll violate an Issa Deraisa. So if it's an is, if davar shein miskaven is an isa deraisa, we're not talking that it's a psik reisha, it's going to bleed. If it's a psik reisha, Rashi and Tosfos say even la halacha you're not allowed to. The token is not a psik reisha, it's only a davar shein miskaven. So davar shein miskaven, according to the sheet of the popular sheet of the Baalei HaTosfos, the maximum it can be by Shabbos is only the rabbanon. So do you have a right to make a gzeira l'gzeira? The Gemara says the Bezin is not allowed to make a gzeira l'gzeira. If the Bezin makes a gzeira l'gzeira, they're right from Baal Tosef. The Rabbanon have no right to make a gzeira shelo l'tzorech, or with very slight tzorech, they have to have a tzorech gadol. So if the whole tzorech is that they're afraid that someone is going to violate the anisa de Rabbanon, davar shein miskaven asur de Rabbanon, what right do they have to make a gzeira? So the Achrayim asked that kasha. Doesn't it sound like this, that this is the machlokes hatanoim? See, I suggested the machlokes, the farmer is probably not so learned, is that Muchach? Now they have a couple of farmers, big Talmid HaChachamim in Eretz Yisrael. There's a character in Bnei Brak by the name of Rabbi Gedalia Neidel. He's a farmer. And the stipler son always quotes him with the big Hadras HaKovet. What does Neidel say? What does Gedalia Neidel? They're quite a character, personality. That's what he does for a living, he's a farmer. He knows how to learn. Big Talmud Chacham, and he picked up his whole derech, he says, picked up his whole style, very open-minded fella, picked everything up from the Chazon Ish. So some of the farmers are very learned. So why should we say the Machlokes HaTanaim, where they make a gzera by the farmers? And some Achrayim want to say, no, the Machlokes HaTanaim is where the Dov Hashem Miskaven is an Issa Deraisa and Issa Derabana. If it's an Issa Deraisa, then it makes sense to make a gzera otu. But if it's only an Issa Derabana, so it's a gzera l'gzera. So that's the question. What? Dov Hashem Miskaven is an Issa Deraisa on Shabbos. The popular view of the Bali HaTosis was that Dov Hashem Miskaven is only an Issa Derabana, because it's lacking malachas machsheves. So that's a problem. That's what the Mefarshim HaMishnayos deal with this, and the Sfarim on the Gemara, they deal with it. It's a problem. From this Gemara, it would appear as if the Avos Shenim Miskaven, at least according to some Tanoim, is also, those who hold us, or hold that it's an Issa Deraisa.
Rabbi, you said that the Chacham here, the
that's how the Gemara says, yeah. The last line, he says, I hold like Rab Shimon, the old Rab Lozman ben Azariah is masking with Rab Shimon.
Didn't Rab Lozman ben Azariah
live
before the two of them?
And so I assume that they both knew what Rab Lozman ben Azariah said. Yeah. There were certain issues that were debated throughout all the generations. Yeah.
So, right, so just because the generation before said that, so Masakim.
I don't know, the Mishnayos don't quote Rav Lozman Azari so often, so the few times that they quote him, so the Gemara was noted to accept his opinion. And the first issue, not by the Pari Yotze Beritzur Sheben Ragla Ben Karnehu, we don't accept his opinion, but in general we tend to accept the opinion of Rav Lozman Azari. That is the sugya, that is the Gemara. Now the next Mishnah goes on a totally different issue.
Left up the piece of the Mishnah.
Huh? Ah, the third Machlokes, yeah. I forgot. The Shechres HaPilpilim, yeah. On Yontif we had a din in the end of the first parak, yeah. The din of Hilchos Yontif, yeah, the din that's Nageh. The Mishnah said, you're not permitted Chine, the Chine on Yontif is a Malacha, but if it's a Tzarech HaChanavish, then you're allowed to. So the Mishnah says that to grind up salt, or to grind something that you could have easily ground, you could grind it on Erev Yontif and it wouldn't be Mefik Tam, that you're not allowed to grind on Yontif. What about to grind Pilpilin? If you grind it up on Erev Yontif, it would be Mefik Tam. So then you're permitted, then it's permissible to grind it on Yontif. That's the Mishnah in the end of the first peg, that's your Dalit. But the Shaila is, are you permitted to grind it Berechaim Shalahem? What's the Shaila? That's already a Shaila from Uvda Dechol. That's a machlekes from Uvda Dechol. So Rav Lozman Azariah, what's that problem of Uvda Dechol? Uvda Dechol is very problematic. We don't know exactly how to define Uvda Dechol. The Pharisee Yisrael has his Hakdome, the Masech HaShabbos, it's called Kalkelos HaShabbos. It lists off all of the Lamed Tes Malachas separately, and he quotes on every Malacha, what are the Deraises, what are the Rabbanos, what are the Gzeris, with the whole Bikias from Gemara and Magen Avrams and Prima Badim, and he quotes everything all together. And then he has a section on Muktze. The Malachas, they did a very nice job. The Mishnah Berurah every so often quotes it from the Kalkelos HaShabbos on the Malachas. It's not Mesudadik. I mean, he has every Malacha separately. Within every Malacha, it's not Mesudadik. Avarfton, all the Marmakarmis. But if you go through everything, you can put together a picture of what the Malacha is all about. But then when it comes to Muktze, it's even weaker. He quotes all the Muktze, it's very confusing. And then when it comes to Uvda Dechol, he has a separate section. That's in Gansen. He quote on Gevarf and all the Gemaras, and you still don't know heads from tails. You don't know what's going on. What's of the Dechol? What's the definition? That's problematic. So the Mishnah says that this was a machalek zablazim and azayi hold. It doesn't make sense to ask this mitam of the Dechol, and we pass on la locha that it is us.
Isn't the Baram of the Dechol? Somebody seems to be doing it. Some might seem to be doing it for business purposes. They're not doing it for example, moving a ladder from a ladder to.
That's one kind of Uvda Dechol. There are different kinds. Marshall, yeah. It says if a person can walk on Yontif without a cane, doesn't really need the cane to walk, but when he holds the cane, it gives him better support. So he's not allowed to use the cane on Yontif, even if there's an Erev. He's not allowed to use the cane because of the Dechol. Unless he has a special cane for Shabbos and Yontif. What's over the chol? Yeah. Sometimes it's volume. Yeah, different kinds of over the chol.
Wasn't something said about a big tool, a big rechayim and a small rechayim?
Yeah, very chaim shalahem.
So was it a small one?
I don't know. I don't know what it means. I don't know. So this is a quote in the Shulchan Aruch that when you do, when you're permitted to do tchina, you should do
a little bit,
a different. You should use a different kli. Otherwise, it's a problem of uvda d'chol.
Well, there are certain things by yontif which not uvda d'chol, like sharpen a knife. You're allowed to use a knife on a knife to sharpen. You're not allowed to use a grindstone. Right? But to go one over that's not uvda d'chol. There's a shinuyo because it's not uvda d'chol.
I don't remember already. I don't know. Uvda d'chol is always the problem. Yeah. So those are the three machlokes in the Rav Lozim, as I was lahakel na chachamim walaha. Okay. Yeah. The next Mishnah has nothing to do with our mesichta. We just mentioned the word rechayim. So by the way, the Mishnah says you should know that a rechayim is a kli that's mekabel tumah, and there are three parts to the rechayim: the top, the middle, and the bottom. And that we considered three, even though it's all screwed together, they're considered three different kalim. Okay. So if an Adam Tami touches one, only that one is Tami, the next two are Tahar. If the Adam Tami touches the second one, only the second one is Tami. The third one, each one is separate. Not like Taisa's court, not like a scissors or like a tweezers. The scissors doesn't function unless you have one cutting
together
against the other. Or the tweezers, you have to have both together, a nail cutter. So that's considered one kli. Even though it has two parts, one kli. But over here, you can have the top without the middle, and the middle without the bottom. So the din says, Rechaim shel Tuplin, Tmeim shem Shlosha Kelim. Each one is a separate kli. And Tosis writes on the top, Pirish. What does it mean, shem Shlosha Kelim? Rashi doesn't explain it well. Tosis explains it. They're unrelated to each other. Even though they're connected, they're screwed together, they're alpidin, they're different kelim.
Because a kind keli is not metame the other keli, right? Even though they're touching each, even if it's screwed together, right?
A kli, odem the kelim is only mekabel tumah from an av or avi avos. So if I'm an av and I touch a kli, so I make the kli into a rishon l'tumah. So the rishon l'tumah cannot be metame the next one, unless it's one kli. Unless it's one kli like a scissors or a tweezer, but it's not one kli. So a kli is not metame another kli. Unless the first kli became... Right, touched a mess, so the mess is avi avos. And the kli became an avatumah, then the kli touches the next kli, makes it into a rishon l'tumah.
Yeah, so the Gemara should have distinguished this general statement.
Yeah, it's unusual. We're not talking about the avos atumah. We're talking an avatumah touches the kli becomes a rishon. The kli is not metame another kli.
The rechaim is one kli, but you have the option to use it the rechaim.
Yeah, but it has a base kibbutz. You can use it as a cup.
You have the option to use it also as a
cup. I don't know. I think Taisus means to learn pshat even when all the three parts are connected. I think they understand that it's still considered three different kelim. Because you could have separated them, you could have used each one separately.
When you want to use it as a rechaim, only if the three of them are functioning together. Otherwise, it's not
rechaim. I don't know. I don't know. Let's say the kli on the bottom is to hold what comes out. If you want to, you can grind everything up and it's going to fall on a plate. You can hold it like this and it's going to fall. In order that it shouldn't fall, you have a kli kibbutz on the bottom.
Well, the first and the second.
The first and second, apparently, also. I don't know either. I don't think so. And I think each one can function. Yeah. But the Mishnah says that they're three different kelim.
You could use them separately.
Even if they're put together. Are we find both together?
We don't know how to define the rechaim.
The klal is, but they said the klal is if the two parts don't function at all, unless they're together, then it's one kli. Like a scissors or a tweezers or a nail cutter. Then it's one kli. But if you can have one without the others, even if they are together, then we consider it separate cable.
You use each separately.
The Gemara is explaining why.
Yep. So the Gemara explains what's going on. So the klal is that a kli eight, a wooden kli, It's only a kabel tum if it has a base kibul. If you have a pshutik layetz, if you have a flat, let's say when they give ice cream, so they have a Dixie cup, so they have a wooden spoon, a wooden stick. So that wooden stick is flat, has no base kibul. Even though you use it as a spoon or use it as a fork, whatever, that's not makabel tumah. That's called the pshutik layetz. Pshutik layetz is not makabel tumah. Pshutik lay matech is on makabel tumah. Let's say I have a flat baking tin, just flat, and it doesn't have any depth at all. Just a sheet of metal, and you put bread on it, you put cookies on it, you put it in the oven, you take it out. So pshutik lay matech is on makabel tumah. But a pshutik means flat. Pshut means flat. If you have a layetz that's pshut, that's flat. So the din is that that's not makabel tumah. So that's.
You have a board where you put like a piece of board, for that, that's nothing to
Oh, so Tosis has in Sukkah, Tosis in the beginning of Sukkah has a chiddush that midrabbanon, if you have a wide tray, let's say have a challah.
Put matzah on,
right. So if you have a big wide, if it's a tiny spoon for a Dixie cup, that's very small. So that's the din deraisa, the din rabbanon saying of kabel tumah. But if you have a big size wooden tray that you use to serve on, or use to cut challah, or use to put in pizza, or something like that, then Taisa says mechadish based on Igmar, that is mekabel tumah midirabbanan. Because it looks like it has a base kibul. We treat it as if it had a base kibul. That's Taisa's chiddush.
Especially made, like especially put bread on it.
Right.
That's also.
Only with the Rabbanon. According to that, Tosis and Sukkah. And that's quoted. The Mogen Avraham quotes it in the Hilchas Sukkah. All these dinim of Tumah V'Tahara are usually not relevant with Zman Hazeh. Everybody's Tummy anyway. So where is it quoted? La Loch and Shulchan Aruch. It comes up in a few places. One place is in Hilchas Sukkah. That Tzchach has to have three conditions. Has to be Gedulei Karka, Dovashen Mekabel Tumah, should be Tolush. That's be Dovashen Mekabel Tumah. So they have whole discussions of what's a kli, what's a makabel tumah, what's not makabel tumah. And then you have in Hilchas Mikvoyes, the din is that when you make a mikveh, it has to be the pasuk says in Vayikra, ach mayin abor mikveh mayim yihi yetohar. So the pasuk, shan the pasuk is, when an adam tamei, let's say adam tamei touches water in a container. So he's matami the water, so the water is makabel tumah. So when adam tamei goes in tefillah in a mikveh, so to find the autumn tummy becomes tahar, but the water should become tummy. So the pasuk says no. Achmayin bar mikveh mayim yihiya tahar. The water remains tahar. The water in the mikveh does not become tummy. That's the pasuk. So the Gemara in Zvachim learns out an additional pshat from the pasuk. Achmayin bar mikveh mayim. When you're talking about making a mikveh, yihiya goes on the hishavas on mikveh. The making of the mikveh, the water should fall into the mikveh. Aydei davishenu mekabel tumah. Let's say
a rubber hose.
Well, let's say you have it's raining and I want the water to go into the mikveh
and a board,
and it doesn't go. So I take a chair, I take a board, and I lean it in such a way that the water is flowing off of the roof. It's bouncing on the table. Let's say the table is mekabel tumah, so the water is going to bounce off the table, go directly into the mikveh. So that's a mikveh that's pasul min hatorah. That's called havayosai. His tavis on mikvahs like they dover hamakabel tumah, so that's no good. So there in Hilchas Mikvahs, they have a whole discussion of what's makabel tumah. What's makabel tumah in Atar, what's makabel tumah in the Rabbanah. And then you have in Hilchas Nida a little bit that there's a din of ksomim that's only in the Rabbanah. If the Isha doesn't really know that she had a Riyaz Dam, but she finds a stain of Dam on a beged, or on a chair that she was sitting on, it may be minamoka, may not be minamoka. So that's exactly the rabbanon that a kesem is metameh. So we pass him like the Tana in the Gemara, Rabbi Nachemya, that a dovish ain't a makabel tumah, ain't a makabel ksomim. That if the thing is the thing on which you find the dam is a dovish ain't a makabel tumah, so the menever goes exeris ksomim on such a thing. So you have a little bit of a discussion over there in Hilchas Nidim. And then at the end of Yeridah you have a little bit in Hilchas Bikur Cholim and Avelos and everything. So it has the dinim of Tumas Kohanim, that if a Kohen, the mace in this room and the Kohen is in the other room, so if you close the door, so one of the rules and regulations is that let's say you have a door that closes, so the tumah doesn't go from one room to the other, but there's an opening in the door, a big window, and the window is open. So you want to block up the window temporarily, let's say. You want to block up the window with some silk. You block up the window with shmatis, with towels, and all the towels are dovah ha-mekabel tumah. The dovah ha-mekabel tumah is ein ha-choytzis b'fnei ha-tumah. So there they have a bit of a discussion. What's considered a dovah ha-mekabel tumah? There they have the taz and the shach and the kudus ha-kesef, and it's all shver. It's all shver because they didn't look in the Mishnayis. The achronim on the Mishnayis say, the shach with the taz, no one looked in the Mishnayis. You have to look in the Mishnayis to see what's in Kabbal Tumah. What are they? You have to know Mishnayis Aholis, you have to know Mishnayis Kalim. They're masik on everything that they say. So these are the four areas in Shulchan Aruch where these dinim do come up. You have to know what's a kli, what's not a kli. So one of the klalim is that if you have a kli mateches is in the Kabbal Tumah, metal kalim on the Kabbal Tumah, and wooden kalim on the Kabbal Tumah. But there's a big difference. A metal kli is in the Kabbal Tumah, even if it doesn't have any base kibul, just flat, a pshuta kli. Should declare mateches as opposed to a wooden kli is only the kabel tumah if it has a base kibul. If it doesn't have a base kibul, is not.
The keli, no.
I think a table is a new din that if it's mishamish adam, then it's also a kabel tumah even though it's not a base kibul. That's a new din. If people lean on a table, then it's mishamish adam.
Because my kabel tumah only from the teucha, it depends how the klicheres is.
Klicheres is another parasha, yeah. Klicheres is another, yeah. The Gemara says it depends, is it leaning inside or outside? Yeah, that's the Gemara Bava Basra, yeah. So the Gemara breaks it down to the three kalim. Each kali is separate. So the tachtaino is a base kibul, the bottom kli that collects the pepper, whatever it is, that falls out. So even if it's wooden, it'll also be mekabel tumah because it has a base kibul, so it has a base kibul, so it's metame. The emtsoy is the middle one, is mishum klei kvora. What's the din of mishum klei kvora? And therefore, what is it? It's made from metal or it's made from wood? What does Rashi write?
It's a keli. It's a keli because it's made to sit through stuff.
So what's mishum klei kvora? Rashi says it's a gzera de rabbanon. Rashi says it's a gzera de rabbanon. Should not be. So what does it mean mishum arub? If it would have been cloth that's woven, it would be mekabel tumah beged. Cloth alone, let's say you have a store where they sell material. And you have a long piece of material, 1,000 yards long. So material is mekabel tumah, even though you didn't yet make it into a jacket, you didn't make it into a tie, you didn't make it into pants. Just the material itself is. Sometimes that's be gimel agimel adzbois. Sometimes that's be gimel agimel tzochim.
Mekabel tumah or matami.
Mekabel tumah. The mekabel tumah. The mitame is another story. Okay. Mitame is another story. So if you have orig, if you have cloth that's woven with a chassis and an erev, that's a din. That is mekabel tumah and a tor. That's a tumah's begodim. A beged is a kli. So Rashi says that over here, even though this is not cloth, this is a wooden sieve, and the particles of the pepper is going through. So since it looks a little like it has a chassis and an erev, so midirabbanan they gave it a din like a kli orig. So he says, what kind of a tushta? What? How does cloth? How do you make a gzer drabbanan on a wooden thing? What shaychus does it have with ariga? He says, loy nira. The lo shaych orig b'maisa shaleit kimet semerot pishtim. He says, it doesn't make any sense. The Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi that says beferish not like Rashi. Not that they made gzera de rabbanon because it's so similar to cloth. It's not similar, totally dissimilar to cloth. So he says, no. It's like cloth in the sense that if you use cloth as a sieve to have the pepper go through, so some of the particles of pepper will be too big to go through, they'll remain. So, huadinami, if you use wood, some of the particles of pepper will get caught in the thing. So that's called the clay kibul. That's called a base kibul midirabbanan. It's not a real base kibul. A real base kibul should have a depth to it. It should have a toch. That stam should be flat and some particles will get caught.
But the process of seeds and the seeds doesn't make a difference what it is. You catch something, respect the respect of the material.
So midirabbanan, we consider it a base kibul, even though it's made shalates. Midirabbanan, that's also called a base kibul. It's no longer called a pshute. That's what it means. And the al-yayra, the upper one, is made from metal. So even if it's a pshuta, even if it's a flat piece of metal, it's also mekabel tumah. See, this is the problem when they make a mikvah. Traditionally in Europe, when they made a mikvah, so the water would collect on the roof, And then they would have to have the water. How do you get the water? So they would have a drain pipe. So the water would go down. So how can you have a drain pipe? Drain pipes are all made from metal. Made from steel. So if you have a metal, so there's not a problem on Maim Shulchan. We're not talking, Maim Shulchan is only if it's contained. It's not Shov over here, it doesn't hold the water. But it's the Shalav HaVayasai Dedova HaMakabal Tumah. Even the Pshuti Klei Mateches, a flat drain pipe that's made from metal, is also a Makabal Tumah. So, and the water goes from the drain pipe into the mikveh, so it does not tassel the whole mikveh. This was what they chapted, all the mikvahs in Europe were like that. So the Chasam Sofer has the famous tshuva where he writes that they're wrong. There's nothing wrong with the mikveh, it's 100% kosher. So he gives two reasons why. He says, along tshuva, Chelek Yeridei, so he gives two reasons. He says, reason number one is that the Rambam quotes a Mishnah that any kli that's manufactured al manas to be mechuba lekarka is not mekabel tumah. He says these are drain pipes. These are drain pipes that are made to be. You don't use them betolush. They only function if they're attached to buildings. To buildings. So since it's mechuba lekarka, so then it's not mekabel tumah. So they chepped the Chasam Sofer and they said, no, that Mishnah, that Rambam, that's of his mechuba lekarka to the ground. He was mechuba to a building, which is mechuba lekarka. So he said they're off their minds. He said they don't know how to learn. He says, quotes often in Mishnayis, Tosefta's, it doesn't make a difference. This is what Machlek is doing, Garish Rabbanan. So the Psak HaMekubal was the Chasam Sofer's Psak. That if the drain pipe, if metal drain pipe, of Pshuti Klei Matechus, which normally is Mekabel Tumah, if it's manufactured al das to be attached to a building, a structure which is attached to the ground, it's also the din and it's not Mekabel Tumah. Then he says, furthermore, even Afilu Daniach, that you're right, Zofta, that it is Mekabel Tumah, he quotes the whole Mokar of Havayasa Adedova HaMekabel Tumah, it's Mishnayis in Mikvois, but the whole Drasha appears in the Gemara. The Mishnayis never tell you this Mokar. Ach mein, aboy mikveh mein, yihiyah tohar, that yihiyah goes his sabus on mikveh, the developing of the mikveh. So he says, the whole Mokar is a Gemara Zvachim on Daf Chafei. So he says, that Gemara Zvachim says beferish that the only time it's a violation of Havayasa Adedova HaMekabel Tumah is if the water goes directly from the drain pipe into the bore. So he says, nobody does that. It goes from the drain pipe, it rolls on the floor, and then it rolls into the bore. As long as it doesn't go directly into the bore, there's always a problem. So that's the way they always make it. The water goes on the drain pipe, and then it bounces on one level, and then it rolls into the bore. Since it doesn't go directly, it's not a problem. So now they add a shtick. Now they have a hidur, agabi hidur. So now they make the drain pipes. Now they don't make, then they have hidurim. They don't. They make earthen, yeah. They make like a chute. They make like a mail chute they have in the buildings and often they have a mail chute. The mail goes straight down from the 10th floor, from the 50th floor, goes straight down to the bottom. So now they have a chute. They open up the thing. And the water goes straight in, so you don't have, and it's like a part of the building. It's plaster. It's part of the building. It's no pshuti klei matechus, even nothing. That's gore, the mahadrim and a mahadrim. And then before they had this, before they had the mahadrim and a mahadrim, so they have plastic drain pipes. Because plastic is not mekabel tumah. There's no plastic in the chumash. It didn't exist. Plastic is a synthetic material. So they say plastic is b'chal not mekabel tumah. And then others, well, Mahadir, before they realized they can use, what is it called, PVC, whatever, plastic stuff, or you use the chutes, so they had another Sama Mahadir to use, what are the airplanes made of?
Aluminum.
Aluminum. Why? Because many Gedolim held, aluminum is not Mekabel Tumah. Right. That's the shaila. When you have a din klei mateches on a kabel tumah, that's aloha or no? The chumash only mentions six specific materials of six specific kinds of metal, right. Six metals. Oh. So that's a diun in achrayim. That's a diun in achrayim. I think the Vilna Goyen is mashma only those six. And all other matechas, years ago they never heard of it. There is no other matechas. Until recently, they never had the ability to separate the aluminum from the iron.
And the one they made from bauxite, which is all the adamo.
I think aluminum is
bauxite. Bauxite ore.
I think it's number four. If you got a cable,
earth, like earth.
Yeah. It's in the top. I don't know. But years ago they didn't have the ability to separate aluminum from the iron. I think it was always together. But in recent years you have the ability. So that's the shaila. So the Vilna Gaon on Mishnayis Kalim sounds like he says like that, only those six mini matechas that are mentioned in the Chumash. And the Tiferes Yisrael quotes this when the Vilna Gaon says, where did he get that from? He thinks that all clay matechas. Clay matechas is a general category.
Why does it have to list six?
And those days, that's
okay, so that's what the Vilna Gaon holds, that the six is dafka. And then in recent years, Rav Moshe, they don't quote the Vilna Gaon. I don't know why. Rav Moshe said like the Vilna Gaon, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and many Gdolim, they held like the Vilna Gaon, that aluminum is not mekabel tumah. So that was a medium for a couple of years. That was the heder. To use aluminum pipes as opposed to iron. You used to have iron or steel pipes.
Israel have all iron pipes.
Iron pipes. Yeah.
And when you have the water from the roof, you have two things. First, you have the gutter and the leader. The gutter has a base kibble, no? But that's also doesn't.
You have to make sure there's no base kibble. Because if it has holes on the bottom, so then there's no base kibble.
It seems to me that I remember.
If it has holes in one end, it's already good, or it has that holes all over.
The whole thing? No.
No, if it can't contain any water.
Water.
Yeah, because it has
the two problems. The problem of Maim Shuvim, that's either the Reis or the Rabbanim. If it's Kulush, I'll give a look at Maim Shuvim, that's only the Rabbanim. But if you have the whole Mikvah Shuvim, that's the Machalik, the Machab and the Ramah. The Ramah is Machon, the Kulush is the Reis. So you have a bigger problem. But Shuvim is only if the container contains water. This is also.
It doesn't contain water, just.
If it doesn't contain, it just rolls away, then it's not Maim Shuvim. But then you have this other problem, even if it doesn't contain water. If it's Habayasa, like the Dov HaMekabel Tumah, then there's a problem there, Isa. That's a problem there, Isa.
It seems to me that I saw, but I don't remember for sure, that there was the joints of the drain was welded in such a way that the whole pipe, the whole drain was one length, and there was no base kibble.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
There's no base kibble, so that solves the problem of shuvah.
Yeah.
But you still have to be concerned about this problem. How the outside did over Makabatim. So some Sofer solved that problem. And all the chumras now is because the choshish, maybe the Chassam Sofer was not right. Okay. We'll stop it. Late.